Hope all everyone's doing well on this last day of unleavened bread. We are all here gathered today as commanded on this high holy day to close this spring holy day season. Hopefully we have begun putting leavening, a symbol of sin, out of our lives this past week with the plan to continue to keep sin out of our lives. So you ask, let's ask, what is sin? So let's turn to 1 John 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. We obey God's law for the sake of the understanding that we have the faith that God will always be there for us to provide and protect us, as he has promised, as he says in Exodus 19 and verse 5 and 6. If you'll turn there. In Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and my commandment, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you have shall speak to the children of Israel. Now let's come down to the crux of the matter. First, the number one key is that God has commanded us to give an offering. So let's turn to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. It says in verse 16, three times a year, all your male shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he has chosen, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give his as he is able, according to his blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. God has given us a commandment to appear before the Lord with an offering, not an animal offering, but a monetary offering based according to our blessings. The men are required to appear before the Lord. The women during those times often had to stay home. But that's not always the case nowadays. Growing up in the church, I never had a father as a part of our family. So my mother appeared before the Lord on the holy days with an offering. If we read in Romans 2, verse 29, clearly says but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So we understand that God calls all, both Jews, Gentiles, and of course women, to appear before the Lord with an offering. The second key is that we need to give cheerfully. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So each one of us has a purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency and in all things. We may have an abundance for every good work, as it is written. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. This is a reference to Psalms 112, verse 19, which says, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor, and the righteous endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. In other words, his strength will be elevated or raised to a higher level. The third key is to plan your offering. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. So let each one of us give as he has purpose in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, we spoke on giving cheerfully, but Paul is also saying to give as he purposes in his heart. Paul is saying that we need to plan our offering, plan them based on our budget and blessing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say a dollar amount that the offering should be. But I'm thinking the reason why is because God wants to see our spiritual maturity. If you really make a concerted effort to see where you are now financially and blessings that God has blessed you with, you shall be able to make a good judgment. Many have the idea that they have debt and that should be excused from offering or even tithing. If our debts are so overwhelming, we need to reevaluate our current financial situation, whether it be to change your living situation or scale down certain expenses. God knows what you're going through. He knows all of your problems. This is a perfect time to call on him for relief. Believe me, I know firsthand how it is to struggle watching my mother try to raise a bunch of kids alone and make ends meet. And if it wasn't for the church assisting my mother with some third ties, we wouldn't have made it. God is the best business partner. He owns everything and wants only 10% in return unless you're paying third tithe. And the second tithe is used for the Feast of Tabernacles. 1st, we have an obligation to comply with God's commandment to give an offering that is made with proper cheerful attitude. Lastly, there must be some thought that goes into the amount. We're all teammates working together to do God's work. So let's turn to the closing scripture, Malachi 3 and verse 8. Do not rob God. Will a man rob God? Let you rob me, but you say, in that way have we robbed you in tithes and offering. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation, bring all the tithes to the storehouse. There may be food in my house, so try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you such blessings, there will not be room enough to receive it. Remember, God wants to shower down blessings, both spiritual and physical. Now we'll take up the offerings.